The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Alrighty then, let's do this. Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this March 20th, first day of spring. Welcome to spring. It's always great to have spring, but they did back off. Well, no, they didn't. Oh, I'm just looking at the revised forecast. I thought they had backed off a little bit, Ray. No, now they're saying 92 on Thursday, and that would be a record for the date, because the record, I believe, is either 89 or 90 degrees on that date. So we are going to plunge into not summer Tucson terms, but first 90 degree temperature of the year. 790-2040, our live line number. The governor's staff is looking at some no-cost options, such as allowing schools to use retired police officers and others who are still certified law enforcement officers as volunteers. The proposal suggests that schools make office space available for police, if for no other reason than having them do their paperwork there for other assignments, which would mean an officer would be on or near campus. Let's bring in now Rick Unclesbay. Rick is the chief trial counsel at the Pima County Attorney's Office. He also teaches at the University of Arizona Rogers College of Law. Rick, how are you?
Good, Bill. Nice to be with you.
You had written an op-ed piece about a week ago saying, please, let's do not arm teachers. You did not think it's a good idea. Why, Rick?
Well, a number of reasons. No matter how well-versed or trained a teacher might be in with firearms, they just don't have the experience that police officers do in training and training against active shooters. Having the judgment about knowing when to shoot and when not to shoot, and I think it would just be really disastrous to have teachers armed in schools for that reason and many other reasons as well.
You have been involved. You've been called on to dozens of officer-involved shooting cases. What's usually the situation there? What is the takeaway message, Rick Unclesbay?
Well, as I had said in the editorial, officers are really well trained to make split-second decisions about when to shoot and when not to shoot. Given that, though, there is a large percentage of the time when in the melee, in the heat of the moment, officers miss their target. And typically, when an officer shoots at or shoots someone, it's in an area where there aren't many people around. There aren't other folks who are going to be in the line of fire. And when you start talking about teachers being armed who aren't trained like police officers, shooting where there are a crowd of students trying to run away, it gives you a pretty good picture of what could go wrong, and tragically so.
And there are all sorts of proposals going on right now to try to ensure that schools have plans, Rick, in place for active shooter situations. What do you think those plans should include?
Well, as you know, and you probably reported on, there was a shooting in Maryland this morning, and although there's not a lot of details that have been released, it appears from the initial news reports that there was a police officer, like we have in some of the schools, a police officer was on duty and present and was able to take care of that situation rather quickly. I don't have any problem with school resource officers being armed and on campus. Those are folks who are trained to in situations like that. And you know, you have a trained police officer as opposed to a teacher where that's not their job. So that's one thing that, that certainly I think is well worth looking into. Can we have trained police officers on campuses who are, as I said, trained to deal with those kind of situations?
And that shooting in Maryland, when the shooting took place, the school resource officer was stationed inside the school and was alerted to the event, and shots were exchanged. He pursued the shooter and engaged the shooter, during which that engagement he fired a round at the shooter. So in some ways, that's the way it should work, by having that school resource officer armed at school.
Right, and like I said, I haven't heard a lot of details about this morning's matter, but that's how it should happen. When we look at Florida last month, there was also an officer on that campus, and it didn't work out so well, at all, with respect to having an officer on campus there. But it's something that, certainly is what it appears happened today. Is something that can save lives when you have an officer who is armed and trained, and trained not just in target shooting, but trained in active shooter scenarios.
We had the school superintendent, Diane Douglas, with us on the program, Rick, a week or so ago, and she was saying there is statute right now in Arizona that would allow a teacher who has been trained and is certified and all that, to actually have a weapon on campus. It would be up to each individual school district. Do you know anything further about that statute?
No, I don't. I read that, and I was not familiar with that statute. And, you know, the problem again, and without trying to repeat myself too much, I mean, the problem I see with that is that police officers are trained to make these split-second decisions, and I don't care how much training you give to a teacher with target practice and the use of a weapon and the you know, using the weapon safely. Police officers have a lot of training in active shooting scenarios where the simulations are people shooting back at them. They've got in-the-field training where people have shot at them or pose an immediate danger to them, and it's vastly different to have that kind of training than it is to have a teacher who is taught how to use a weapon safely and taught how to shoot at a target practice. So I don't see that as a substitute for a trained police officer.
What about metal detectors? Having a school resource officer with a weapon on campus, we talked a little bit about that. But what about like an airport type metal detector at every school in Arizona?
Well, I certainly don't want to portray myself as any sort of an expert on how to make schools safer. I mean, there are folks who spend their lives in making those kind of decisions. To me personally, I mean, when you and I grew up and the schools were open and carefree and you came in, I would hate for my kids to have grown up in a school where they had to pass through a metal detector every day. I mean, I'm not sure that that's it certainly might be a solution to keeping weapons out of the school, at least some, but how much freedom do we give up with sending our kids off to school where they have to go through that kind of a situation? I'm not sure that I would be in favor of that personally, but again, I'm certainly not an expert in that.
All right, let's see if we can work a quick call in before we let Rick Unclesbay go. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks to your caller for taking the time to engage on the subject. And I was curious if he had any opinion regarding the distinction between the public schools arming teachers versus charter schools in the state, which are, you know, becoming a large number, and what his concept of with regards to how much these resources, what he thinks about these resources being taken away from, basically from the classroom as well. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
Well, I don't see any difference in a public school as well, charters are as well, I guess. My whole point was that teachers, one, I don't think they should be put in the position of having to take a life of someone, but certainly want them to protect their students. But training for public school teachers it just doesn't include the kind of training that police officers get. I mean, the caller makes a good point, something else, and as you know, Bill, we've got a big problem retaining police officers in Tucson, and we're down a lot of officers from where we were just a few years ago. And so the idea of having uniformed police officers assigned to each school, it was something that happened many years ago, but I'm not sure that Tucson has the resources to do that now. So that's a big problem for us.
Rick Unclesbay, always a pleasure. Rick from the Pima County Attorney's Office, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Rick Unclesbay with us. Mona's Danish Bakery is a proud partner of the Buckmaster Show. They are our newest partner supporting our program. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It is lunchtime. Are you hungry? Well, if you go by Mona's, the sandwich that you will order will be on their freshly baked bread. Or how about this? A ham and cheese on a freshly baked croissant. Sounds pretty good right about now, doesn't it, Ray? Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman's next. He gives me a big thumbs up. Well, maybe not so big, but we'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday during the noon hour, it is spring break time in Mexico. Is it safe to visit? That question for Keith Rosenblum, our contributor on Mexico. Also, Dr. Victoria Mays is director of the UA Center for Integrative Medicine, breaks down a new study on bottled water. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Shelly Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Tell you what, I'm going to consult right now with Shelly Fishman, certified financial planner. Hello, Shelly.
Good morning or good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
How are we doing with the Fed? They're having their, under the new leadership, first meeting.
Yeah, they're having their meeting, the Open Market Committee, today and tomorrow. And it is fully expected that the Fed will raise interest rates for the first time this year, another 25 basis points, which will bring it to somewhere between 1.5 and 1.75. Because it's kind of a range that they work with. The real question is, how many more times this year are they going to do it?
And are they going to keep it?
Four, five, who knows? And are they going to keep it in the range of 25 basis points? Now, that's the strategy that Janet Yellen and even Ben Bernanke saw as the path to a safe landing, you know, a soft landing from all the stimulus that they had done during the Great Recession. But with some indications in the economy, both here in the United States and across the globe, that the economies are doing better, plus you've got the stimulation from the tax revisions that were made, and now you have the potential for greater inflation because of trade wars, and the tariffs that the Trump administration is putting on steel, aluminum, and now $60 or $50 billion worth of import tariffs on stuff from China. That's all going to have an upward pressure on prices. And so the Fed is thought to be considering the possibility of tamping down on those inflationary tendencies by raising interest rates.
So this one is built in. I mean, the market is not reacting to what's going to happen.
Yeah, the market reacted yesterday to some other stuff that
the
was
Facebook,
going on.
I'm the Facebook, I'm not quite stuff, sure yeah. I understood all that. But
this volatility is now baked into the market.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're seeing is, without specific events that would attempt to change the fundamentals in a way that would explain more readily what the market's doing. You know, you see a 300-400 point drop one day, and then a 200 point drop increase the next day. With some rounding errors, we are right now approximately where we were at the beginning of the year. We're a little below that on the Dow, a little above it on the NASDAQ and the S&P. But, you know, we can call it, for all intents and purposes, a flat year so far, so long as you don't look at any one particular day. I mean, we've had a 10% correction. So this has been a rough ride during the year, but I think most people are still feeling, number one, that the fundamentals of the economy are pretty good, and number two, we had such a run-up in 2017 and the last 2 months of 2016 that You know, it's kind of churlish to complain.
Yeah. Hey, how about this for an analogy? Like a boxer, we're still on our feet, right? Taking a few punches, but still staggering on our feet. Shelley, I caught that Market Watch article just a couple of days ago. Asks a really important question. Who gets your IRA when you die?
That is a really good question. And, you know, we've addressed it once or twice here on the show, but it's always worth re-talking about. So if you are married and you die, whether you have named your spouse the beneficiary or not, the spouse will inherit the IRA unless somebody else has been appointed as primary beneficiary with the spouse's consent. So that's the rule in most states, and that's certainly the rule here in Arizona. Now, that said, the spouse inherits that IRA as if it were the spouse's own. So there is no requirement, there's no tax consequences of that inheritance, and no requirement if the spouse is under 70 and a half.
Where does it get tricky?
Well, it gets tricky if the spouse does not inherit the IRA for one reason or another. Perhaps there is no spouse, or perhaps the spouse has predeceased the person who's now dying. Then it gets tricky because then you have to name the beneficiary, and that beneficiary has some choices. So if you name the beneficiary, let's say you have two kids and you decide 50-50 to each of my kids, and you just leave it at that, then each of those kids will inherit 50% of the IRA, and they will have the right as individuals to choose whether to pay taxes on that IRA when they inherit it or to distribute those taxes over their natural lifetime. And so that what would happen is they, regardless of how old they are, they would pay required minimum distributions out of that IRA for the balance of their lives. Unless one of those kids predeceases the person who is leaving the IRA, in which case then you have to have made a decision about whether you want that, let's say, two kids to inherit your IRA on a per capita basis or on a per stirpes basis. Mm. Now, stirpes are not something you stick your feet into and ride a horse.
I've never heard that term.
Well, I just invented it. I know. For stirpes, no. That's a Latin term.
All right.
So on a per capita basis, if you have two kids and one kid predeceases you and then you die, the other kid gets 100%. Regardless of the fact that perhaps the deceased child might be married and have some children of his or her own, they are simply out of luck. Now, if you say, on the other hand, the thing where you stick your feet in and ride a horse, per stirpes, then what would happen is that 50% would be distributed to that child's offspring on a per capita basis or equally distributed. So you can't avoid these decisions when somebody other than your spouse is going to inherit your IRA. And despite the fact that it seems confusing, you and whoever is managing that IRA for you. And remember, there's lots of ways to have an IRA. You can have an IRA account at a broker-dealer. You can have an IRA that is an annuity. You can have an IRA sitting in gold bars in your safe. I mean, there's lots of ways to have an IRA. So you have to have the proper documentation. There's one other, and I know you want to ask a question, but I just want to add one other wrinkle here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that if you have a trust, it is never, I shouldn't say that, it is rarely a good idea to name the trust as the primary beneficiary of the IRA. You should name the trust as the contingent beneficiary. Name your spouse or anybody else you want to inherit as the primary beneficiary. That moves the money outside of the trust. And so the rules of the trust don't get involved in complicating the matter.
That's a very good point, because many people have trusts.
Yeah, exactly. And so, again, talk to the attorney who helped you put the trust together and talk to your financial advisor. But as a general rule, do not name the trust as the beneficiary of your IRA or 401k. Now, on a non-IRA account, it is perfectly okay to name the trust. In fact, you probably should. Or maybe the trust should even own the account. But a trust can't own an IRA. That has to be an individual.
All right. Good information from Shelley Fishman. As far as the markets are concerned, we will keep an eye on it. But again, the operative word is volatility.
Absolutely, and get good advice. Don't. This is not a do-it-yourself.
No,
project.
It is not.
You don't have to take your advisor's advice, but at least get the benefit of it.
Exactly, Shelley Fishman. We get the benefit of him every Tuesday on our Money Maker Report at 12:20 on Tuesdays. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Green Things. Hey, it's the first day of spring, perfect day to pay a visit to Green Things, our favorite nursery, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. They are just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Jan and Jack are the owners, owner-operators. They've got 13 acres, and if you cannot find it there, probably your gardening is not going to be found anywhere your gardening needs here in Tucson. They've got it all over at Green Things. Also, I love their website, greenthingsaz.com. They even have a link to the Buckmaster Show, which is very nice of them. Kristen Auerbach is with us. Kristen became the director of Pima Animal Care last July, and she was on this program within a week or two after first starting. So this is her first return visit, and I wanted to give it a little time because so much has happened, Kristen, since you were here. First of all, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about when you think of these first 9 months, whatever it's been, how would you kind of characterize what's happened out there?
Well, I had the opportunity to work in the old PAC facility, which was really an amazing place because the life-saving that happened in one of the most challenging shelter environments that I've ever seen. And it was challenging because we simply couldn't control disease there. There were places to isolate animals, but the team was making it work. But what you often saw when people would walk in is they would start crying. They would feel so sad for the animals and feel a little bit helpless. And in my 9 months, we've made it a transition to this beautiful, incredible new facility that was supported by our taxpayers through a bond. And now when we watch people walk in, they sometimes start crying, but for a totally different reason, because they're tears of joy at seeing this new facility and the care and love our animals and our community are getting.
Is it a state-of-the-art facility, one of the best in the country?
It sure is. Yes, it was built for animals, and so it really is built to make the animals as comfortable as possible. So no longer do the cats hear loud barking dogs. They're totally separated. So it's a quiet, relaxing place for the cats, and our cats that are really afraid, they don't even have to come indoors anymore. They get to stay in a all outdoor, we call it a caddy shack, until they go on to their next outdoor home. So, and for the dogs, they now have indoor-outdoor kennels, which has already drastically reduced our disease. And the dogs are so much calmer. People can't believe it when they walk through the kennels. They ask, why are the dogs so quiet? It's because they're relaxed and laying in the sunshine now instead of in that dark, big room they were in before.
You posted on Facebook a couple of pictures from an Illinois animal care center where they took donated like old furniture, like living room chairs and stuff. That might be cool for our dogs.
Yeah, we have this.
Would that work here, do you think? Or?
Well, we thought about, so they were taking big, like old chairs from people's houses
big
and
old
actually
lazy
putting
boy.
Them in the kennels.
Right.
And our kennels aren't quite big enough to do that, but we do have something called a real life room where the dogs, we do put human furniture, and the dogs go in there and and can chill out on a couch. And it's for a lot of the dogs, one of the things that really surprises people is for most shelter dogs, the first thing they do when they go home for 48 hours is sleep because they're exhausted. And so what we're trying to do is get them out more. We're doing group play. So they go to play groups every day. They come back in their kennels and they're tired and they take a nap. And that's really good for all the dogs.
It
lets them kind of relax and sleep, which is something that doesn't always happen in animal shelters.
So animal shelters, of course, keep very close tabs on the adoption rate. Give us the numbers at this point for Pima Animal Care.
One thing that's so unique about Pima County that we just can't quite figure out is that we adopt out about 57% of the total intake. So of all the animals that come in, about 57% are leaving through adoption. And to tell you why that's meaningful, that's about 20 points higher than the national average. And what it tells us is that Pima County residents love animals, and they are choosing to adopt, not shop, when they look for their next pet. And it's the primary reason why we're saving 90% of the animals that are coming in, and that's raw numbers. No matter what the reason they're coming in for, 9 out of 10 are leaving the shelter alive, and the ones that are still dying are usually dying of serious medical issues.
People love animals in this community. I have no idea if we have per capita more rescue groups than any other place in the country, but it wouldn't surprise me. There are these foster groups, and people just love animals in this town.
It's really true. We're a really unique place, and we're of municipal shelters, we are probably the most life-saving, if not one of the top three most life-saving large shelters in America. And it's really interesting. We do about 9,000 adoptions a year. People just come in and they're not just adopting one kind of animal. It's our big dogs, our little dogs, our 18-year-old cat. People are coming for even those animals that weren't always considered highly adoptable. This community embraces and wants to help save.
I do applaud you. Kudos to you for you're really active on Facebook. I see your posts. And social media has really created a whole new ball game in animal welfare.
It's truly changed everything for us because we couldn't – the problem – and I've been doing this – I started this work in 99, and the problem was that we couldn't get the word out. And so this was back when 15 million animals a year were dying in America, and they were dying invisible deaths. So nobody even knew they existed. And what social media let us do and still does today is to tell the animal stories. So even you can take, for instance, we have these two dogs now, and they've been horribly abused. They have terrible wounds on their faces. Their skin, it looks like it's been burned by some chemical.
I saw the pictures. They're horrible.
Even 5 years ago, they would have died. No one would have heard their stories. And because of the power of social media, we can make a video. And it's been shared about 10,000 times already on social media. And we have rescue groups reaching out to save those animals. And that was all free for us. It didn't cost us a penny. And we're able to tell these animals stories and find them lifelines.
Tell me about what will become the largest, most comprehensive foster program in the country.
Well, fostering was in the old days, fostering was reserved for animals that would die if they were left in the shelter overnight. Little tiny puppies and kittens, animals with illnesses that needed medication or around-the-clock care. But we're just starting to understand how much we can do with fostering. And what we're doing at PAC is at any given time, we have about as many animals in foster as we do in the shelter. And this saves us money. We're not paying to house them. It prevents us from having to euthanize for space. And it's much more humane. Animals that can't tolerate living in the shelter go right to a foster. So Maddie's Fund Family Foundation, which is a family foundation that grants gifts to animal shelters, was really excited about our work, and they gave us a gift of about $600,000 to create the largest foster program the world has ever seen. We're going to be able to have a total of 4 foster coordinators, and they will all target different groups of animals.
Cats, dogs, adult cats, adult dogs, you'll have medical, orphan babies, post-foster support and placement. When does it start, Kristen?
We've hired all 4 positions. A couple of them are on their way. 2 of them are at PAC. And we're going to be, so we'll be gearing up and really starting in earnest in late April. And this is going to be part of a large national research study to study what are the impacts of fostering, because we believe it can totally change the game for animal welfare organizations. If you have been to PAC in the summer, you know what it looks like when we have 2, 3, 4 animals in a kennel. No matter how good we are at our jobs, we simply can't give all those animals the care they need. And so what fostering is capable of doing is reducing our overall inventory, saving us resources, it's safer, and it will allow us to never let an animal in the shelter slip through the cracks. They'll all be seen medically every day, and we'll be able to provide the care that those animals deserve.
Coming up on April the 14th, and there'll be more about this, we'll be doing a segment on this coming up. It's the fourth annual Adopt Love, Adopt Local, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the 14th. You guys will be involved too.
Please come, yes. And this is the time of year when adopting is truly saving a life. We will be at capacity on dogs in particular. We'll likely have 700 dogs in care at that time. We'll be bringing at least 80 of those to the event, we hope. And so coming to this event, you can adopt from us or any one of many local rescue groups. This is one time a year we all come together for the same cause, which is to get homeless pets adopted. And we're so excited to make this the biggest year yet.
All right, Kristen Auerbach, congratulations. You're doing a great job. People can find out more about you on Facebook, follow your posts of what's going on. And for those that don't know, because we do have folks that are new to the community, where are you located?
We are at 4000 North Silver Bell Road, and we have a brand new facility with great signage, a half a mile on either side. You'll know you're coming up to PAC.
How about the artwork on the building?
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
From pictures I've seen. Look,
yeah,
great.
We have a very a piece of art on our building that is composed of shelter animals, and it is worth a visit on your
yeah,
on its
it
own.
Is.
So if you're an art lover, even if you're not in
that.
The place to adopt, come see it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks,
Kristen.
Bill.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great weekend getaway or longer. It's the middle of the week. You've got some time off. It's a 3-hour drive to a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. They've been a wonderful supporter of ours. And the first place I would suggest starting before your trip is their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. They want to see Southern Arizonans over there. We send a lot of folks over there, and everybody comes back and says the same thing. Bill, I had a great time. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, it's our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Arlo Guthrie next week, Wednesday, March 28th, and coming up on April 24th, the Fox Theater presents Tao, Drum Art, showcasing the ancient art of Japanese drumming. Also in April, just announced Tanya Tucker, of course, I know that one. Tanya Tucker performing on April the 26th to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule, including Arlo Guthrie, March 28th, Tao Drum Heart on April 24th, and Tanya Tucker on April 26th. Visit foxtucson.com. Joining me now is the music director of True Concord Voices and Orchestra. We welcome back Eric Holton. Hi, Eric, how are you?
I am really well. Thanks for having me back, Bill.
It's always a pleasure. True Concord Voices and Orchestra will be closing out its 14th season coming up here in a couple of days. The weekend should be a outstanding event for you. It's a collaboration with the UA Poetry Center. Tell me about what's planned.
So we are doing a tribute to American luminary Emily Dickinson. It's an all-American program, composers right here in America, and it's involves music that all of which utilizes texts from Dickinson, so poetry and letters of hers.
And that's a wide variety of material to choose from.
Absolutely. Well, she was really prolific.
Yep.
And I'm grateful for the assistance of the UA Poetry Center in helping us put together this program.
Where will the what's the venue for this program?
So, as is our custom, we perform all over the community. Mm-hmm. We're going to be at Catalina Foothills High School on Thursday night. We're at Scottish Rite Temple downtown on Friday night. We're in Green Valley Saturday night and Grace St. Paul's Episcopal on Sunday afternoon.
How do you work with these different venues as far as, because each venue has such a different acoustic setup?
Well, that is one of our challenges for us because we don't have a home.
Right.
And so we take our show on the road, if you will. But we found it to be a very successful model. It's a sort of a music where you live, you know, taking music to the people kind of model. And it's worked very well. We're just we're finishing up here what's going to be a record season for us in terms of attendance. And our patrons and the community seem to appreciate the fact that we bring the music to them where they live.
What will be the centerpiece for this Dickinson program?
So we have two world premieres on this program. The first is the result of a national competition that we launched in honor of our friend Stephen Paulus, the composer who left us far too soon. And we had a national competition, about 40 entries from all over the country. These are emerging composers. And a winner was selected. And so we're going to premiere his piece. And then the second half features a composer that's close to home here, Gerald Neer, internationally acclaimed composer, happens to be living in Green Valley right now.
Mm.
And so he has created a piece, a new cantata, that utilizes letters and poetry of Dickinson and sort of gives us a glimpse into this mysterious character of Dickinson, about whom we don't know a whole lot, but I think this piece is going to help in that regard.
And he's living in Green Valley, so is this just by our serendipitous chance that he is retired in our area and we can utilize his services?
Exactly. He's lived all over the United States. His music has been performed all over the world and broadcast all over the world, but he just happens to be living in Green Valley now.
So tell me a little bit about the Paulus composer mm-hmm. and the piece that's involved here.
Mm-hmm. So Stephen Paulus, probably one of the most prolific composers in the United States. Mm-hmm. We commissioned a significant piece of him to mark the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It's a piece that we ultimately recorded and a piece that won a Grammy for Best Classical Contemporary Composition, and our recording of it earned a Grammy nomination for Best Choral Performance. Just a few weeks after we recorded it with him right here in Tucson, he had a tragic stroke, left him in a coma, and he ultimately died. And so he won that Grammy posthumously. But we wanted to honor him in this competition because one of his passions was encouraging young emerging composers. And so we launched this competition, as I said, that we advertised all over the country, and we received applicants from just about everywhere. And we've got our first winner this year.
Eric Holton is with us, the music director of True Concord Voices and Orchestra. Give us the quick 30-second elevator pitch, if you will, about who you are.
Well, we are Tucson's only Grammy-nominated ensemble. We are a professional chamber choir and orchestra. We are committed to performing masterworks, pieces like Mozart Requiem, you know, Bach B minor Mass, etc. But we're also committed to music of America, including works by American composers and new composers and leading composers right here in the United States.
What attracted you to classical music?
Well, I grew up in a musical home, and my dad played the piano. My grandpa had his own dance band. My grandma on my other side played anything by ear on the piano, and I got the bug real early, and started singing and playing the piano. I think first grade, and I just went from there.
And your 6-year-old son is with us in studio, and he is following in your footsteps, taking piano already, right?
He's been studying for a year, and his teacher says he's the fastest learner he's ever had.
That is a big smile on his face right here in studio. Susan Aiken is involved these concerts, correct?
Yes. So she's a distinguished professor emerita of the university in English, I believe. She's a real Dickinson scholar. And so she's going to be joining me for the pre-concert talks, which begin 45 minutes prior to each concert. And she's going to talk about what makes Dickinson unique and great in the literary landscape.
Did Dickinson have any kind of, were there any kind of music? We all know the poetry, but did she have any kind of musical connections that we know about?
Well, not that I know of, but she loved to sing hymns.
Huh.
And she's a very religious person. And so Gerald rightly has included a couple of hymns in this cantata. One's the Old Hundredth, mm-hmm. A psalm tune, and that will be familiar. And then he created a new chorale tune for this. So we get that part of Emily's life to come through in this music.
Tell me about your performers who are with True Concord. Are these folks that this is a hobby with them? Or give me a little bit of background about that.
No, this is their livelihood.
Okay.
So everybody in our ensemble is, this is what they do for a living. They hold degrees in music performance or conducting, and a lot of our singers come from all over the United States and are gigging in groups like ours around the country. And then, of course, we draw the best of the instrumental artists from right here in Tucson.
All right. Let's quickly go over the venues and the times, please.
So Thursday night, again, 7:30 p.m. at Catalina Foothills High School Auditorium, a fabulous auditorium. Friday night, Scottish Rite Temple. If you've not been in this facility, this is an intriguing venue. That's at 7:30 on Friday night.
Nice restoration in that facility.
Yeah. In Green Valley, we're at St. Francis in the Valley Episcopal Church, which, by the way, is the church of Gerald Neer, where he works and leads the music program there.
Very convenient.
Mm-hmm. 7 All o'clock right. on Saturday. And then on Sunday, 3 p.m., we're at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Midtown.
Tickets?
Tickets are available on our website, trueconcord.org, or you can call us at 520-401-2651.
Eric Holton, always a pleasure. Thank you very much from True Concord Voices and Orchestra.
Thank you, Bill.
This Arts Report is brought to us by Fox Tucson Theater. Arlo Guthrie coming Wednesday, March 28th. Tao Drum Heart. This will showcase the ancient art of Japanese drumming. That's coming up on April 24th. Tanya Tucker performing on April 26th. That show was just announced. She'll be doing all of her signature classics. So great lineup as usual at the Fox. So we really appreciate their support here of the Buckmaster Show. To view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule, including Arlo Guthrie, March 28th, Tao Drum Heart, April 24th, and Tanya Tucker, April 26th, visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, we've got Mike Check, 4 to 6, Mike Shaw's program, along with Ray Allen helping out with that, putting together the show from 4 to 6. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Got some very interesting information about a new survey that's been done and study about bottled water. That's coming up on the show tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, Eric Holton, thank you, Eric. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon and evening.